I think what he was saying with that, and you'd know better than I would, is that he was satisfied and content with life. Life had turned out well for Bob, but I think he said it for another reason too, and that was to say that because he had enough, he could help others so that they too could have enough. He was other-centered. This last year, I had time to spend precious time with Bob in the hospital. This last summer especially, as his health was really, it was challenged in a lot of ways. And you get a moment of clarity on what's on a person's mind when you talk to them in these moments. Do you know what Bob would ask me? Oh, the nurses would be saying, hey, twist over here, and hey, we got to get this test. Bob would interrupt them and he'd say this, how is the church family doing? That's other-centered. A Bible study right before Christmas. We gathered together and this question was posed. What's the greatest gift that you've ever received in your life? I think it was December 11th, 2 weeks before you went to Florida. Bob answered this. I don't know if you remember this, those that are here and in Bible study. Bob said this, my grandchildren. I remembered that. No matter what answer he gave, it was always other-centered. Love does unusual things. Now, I'm doing something that I shouldn't do as a Lutheran pastor. We have a pastor right over here, Pastor Metzler. We're not supposed to eulogize people in services as Lutherans. We're not supposed to kind of put them on a pedestal. And I want everyone to know here I'm not doing that here. Because Bob wasn't perfect. None of us are perfect. Actually, sin is a part of every single person's heart. It's a part of our condition. And I don't share these stories. You probably have more stories where you can share about how Bob's love poured out upon you. I don't share these stories just to give you comfort either. There's something deeper and more significant than all of that. Bob shared love because he was first loved by God. Love is not a concept. Love is action. Love does unusual things. My friends, that is the exact point of Romans chapter 8, the passage that you've chosen for your dad's funeral. And when Paul's putting together the things that Jesus did, I just want to note something here. In verse 34, he says, four things that Jesus did. You look it up in the text. He died, he rose, he sits at the right hand of the Father, and then Paul says this, he intercedes for us and pleads our case. Now that's interesting, because if you look at the other creeds and the other statements about Jesus during this time period, they wouldn't state it that way. They would say the first three points, Jesus died, Jesus rose, he sits at the right hand of the Father. But if you read the writings, they typically say this, and he will come to judge the quick and the dead. Maybe you've heard that before. I think what Paul is saying is this. Jesus came not to condemn and speak a case against us, but Jesus came to be our advocate and love us into the kingdom, to intercede and to make us whole and to provide that quarter that is missing in the heart and life of every single person. Love is action. Jesus came, he died, he rose, he sits at the right hand of the Father. But love does an unusual thing. Jesus came to sit at the Father's, right by the Father, to intercede, to plead Bob's case, to love Bob into the kingdom. God's love was certainly a big part of Bob's life. Love knows no bounds. Bob liked to measure things. Is that true? On the building committee, Bob would, I wasn't here during this time period, but I can imagine him saying this. He loved the blueprints. He loved looking at those blueprints. And he knew where walls should be and where they shouldn't go. He measured things. When we built the patio, he knew where the concrete could go, where it should go. And he knew every little inch where it should be laid. He measured the budget. He knew when there was too much. He knew when there was too little. He measured things. But there was one thing he didn't measure. The things of God. He knew that those things couldn't be measured. Please go home today and read the poem on the back of the bulletin. Bob wrote that in the 1980s. God, faith is something that can't be measured, is what he's saying in that poem. God's love is also something that can't be measured, and it knows no bounds. Paul says in our text, death, not a boundary. God's love reaches and has reached Bob even in death. The universe, the heights and depths, as he mentions that word, that can't be a boundary. God's love breaks through and reaches Bob. Time, this present age, the age to come, God's love reaches. And God's love has reached Bob. It's with him. Dear friends, sometimes here in our services for funerals or celebrations of life, we offer the opportunity for people to share memories and thoughts. And I want you to know what I offered that to Kay. It was the fastest I ever heard Kay say no. Her facial expression was more like, no way, don't do that. And here's the thing. Bob would have completely agreed with that. But here's the thing. Let's go home and share specifically the ways in which that Bob's love went in an unusual way to us. I have stories, but I'm sure there are hundreds of stories here in the sanctuary today. Because when we do that, it helps us heal. It helps us deal with our grief. It honors Bob, but it does one more thing. It recognizes God's work in his life, a love that was poured out. Because long before Bob shared his love with us, he was dearly loved in an uncommon and unusual way by Jesus. Our prayer for you is that this love we're talking about surrounds and fills you in the days ahead. It's a love for everyone. That was Bob's view. And we all agree. Amen.